Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Maat Hotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course you are in tune to the official, one of our official internet radio broadcasts for the original and historic Million Woman March, and now the MWM Universal Movement. Well, of course, this is now also this month, that is considered Women's History Month. And, you know, as we have been saying all week, of course, we did our regular radio broadcast last night and have been doing some special editions during the course of this month and will continue to do so, again, given the fact that it is Women's History Month nationwide. There's a lot of things always going on, and we've paid very much of attention, not just this year, but in previous years, to really see how this month can or has benefited Black women. Now, we know all over the country, in particular, other women, of course, observe Women's History Month, and even to some degree, there's an international observance, and that is March the 8th. That was International Women's Day. And all over the world, women were doing various things that was relevant to them. And, of course, you know, the whole idea of women. Well, I looked very carefully again to kind of see what Black women were doing, particularly in the U.S., and I found kind of interesting, and of course saw that there were several things happening on of course, the international level. But here's something that I found that many Black women have no idea about. That is, of course, that we are getting ready to approach the closing for the decade for African women. The decade for African women was initially launched by the African Union in 2010. So by the end of 2020, it will be done. I found this so very interesting that many of the groups and organizations in the U.S., particularly that's supposed to be, you know, somewhat conscious or really serious about doing things for Black women, I sort of really found it interesting how very few talked about that, the decade for African women, or had any real kinds of plans to really do anything in that regard. I found that really, really interesting, particularly the groups and organizations that get funding, the groups and organizations that supposedly are about uplifting and empowering our women and girls, but yet very little information. And note, political arena, Black women that are in the political kinds of circles didn't really tell their constituents about the decade for African women. I can't help but to wonder why. Well, we're going to explore that a little later on, and certainly during the course of this month. But I raised that because MWM definitely does have something planned, and we're going to tell you about that very, very soon. It's connected to the African Union. We are in connection with several countries. And, of course, with that, we have begun to make certain that not only the history of the original Million Woman March, but now that we've developed the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent, well, we are making certain that that is known and understood and established worldwide. Now, next Friday, we will be in New York. We have several meetings, actually, that's taking place because we have a major thing that's coming up in August. And, of course, it is connected to the 400-year observance of the African Maafa. And for those who are not familiar with what the Maafa is, well, when you hear other people talk about the Holocaust, they usually are referring to the Jewish Holocaust. Well, a great Black woman, brilliant scholar by the name of Dr. Marimba Ani, wrote an incredible book. And, well, she wrote several books, but in particular, her writings talks about what is known as the Maafa, and it makes reference to, or it talks about the African Holocaust. And that, of course, is the what many refer to as the transatlantic slave trade, or what also is known as the peculiar institution. So these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about, not only for this month, but again, we'll be in New York next Friday. We'll be there in particular to support an event, a program that is really a part of the annual gathering that happens in New York at the UN every year. And it is under the banner of the Commission on the Status of Women. Well, MWM has now put something together in preparation for the closeout for the decade of African women. But for the future, we have a whole program, a whole agenda that will now follow the decade for African women. And that particular initiative will come also under the banner not only of the MWM Universal Movement, but what we now have, which is the Commission on the Status of African Women North America. So that means that MWM is now positioned so that on a national level, we can begin to not only connect with Black women groups, organizations nationwide, but also from a governmental standpoint, so that we can start getting the statistics and other things that is relevant to every aspect of what's going on with our women and girls. And that way it can be documented, it can be also researched, it can be connected to the other kinds of things that are going on a national and international level. We have found in this past 20 years how important it is to connect the black dots. And so we've done that now in a very holistic way. And we feel that today is a more than appropriate day to share some of that information with you, given the fact that this is, in fact, the day that one of the greatest heroes of our knowing of our time, of antiquity, and of present day. Today was and is what we recognize as a day of transition and ancestral transition or ascension. And it is, of course, that of none other than the great Harriet Tubman. We call her Mother Harriet Tubman, and as a part of the MWM movement, we also call her Saint Araminta, because we now have 20 sister saints, and we'll be telling you about each one of them, during the course of this month, as well as we proceed into the year, and tell you about the initiatives that is connected to our 20 sister saints. By the way, if you or someone you know would be interested in working with that project, we're presently looking for some graphic artists, because we're getting ready to put out several publications. And two of the publications are going to be for children. So one will be a coloring book with the 20 sister saints, and the other will be some stories about these 20 sister saints. And, of course, again, Mother Harriet Tubman is one of our sister saints. So today, we felt, again, would be more than appropriate to share with you some of the information about what MWM is doing, has been doing, and will be doing for the next particularly year to also 2025, because that's our agenda. Tonight, we are so blessed to talk with the grandniece of Harriet Tubman. Joining us tonight is going to be Sister Rita Daniels is with us, and she's going to tell us about the celebration, the observance that they did today in Georgia, as well as what she has been working on for several years and is still in need of support. It is the Harriet Tubman Educational Center. But right now, she's doing some incredible work with some youth, with young children, which she will tell you about, because that was, of course, one of the things, as quiet as it's kept, that Mother Harriet Tubman was very adamant about, and that was education. And Sister Rita is an educator. She's a teacher and also has a degree in, I believe, human services. And so, you know, she felt once she began to learn and know more about her ancestor, her direct blood ancestor, she knew that she had to keep that legacy going. And so she has been working diligently to do so. On our end, we always want to connect with the genuine, actual sources and people. And so we have been able to build with Sister Rita. She joined us for the 20-year anniversary commemoration. And so we have, over these past couple of years, been working to make certain that as we proceed in the very near future to really be able to support one another to a greater extent in our endeavors, MWM is not so much focused on the educational representation of Mother Harriet Tubman, but more so on the freedom fighting aspect that she's known for in terms of the Underground Railroad and certainly other things relevant to justice. That's kind of where we come in at, but we're going to connect it all by the end of 2020. That's our projection, to have things in place, ready to go. For those that do not know, we're in the process of establishing the MWM Black Homeschooling Network, and that will be connecting to a lot of the other groups and other educational institutions throughout the U.S. so that we can support those that already exist while we're building our own, because we definitely intend to have our own everything. So we're starting with basic things first, because again, people that does not, will not educate their own children, 9 times out of 10 is not going to make a whole lot of progress in some other things realistically that's going to be sustainable. And so we recognize how important it is to now make certain that we continue to create our own curriculums, our own educational materials, etc., as well as the training for educators. Now, last night we talked about and paid tribute to the great ancestor now, Dr. Julia Hare, who of course was a part, she and Dr. Nathan Hare were instrumental in the very first Black Studies Department that was established in a so-called institution of higher learning. 1968 was a very important year. That's why last year we paid tribute to the 50-year anniversary commemoration of the Black Power Conference that took place here in Philadelphia, but also launched a year-long program that put in place what we call Black Power, Black Consciousness, etc., 50-50, meaning to examine the past 50 years as we prepare for the next 50 years. So we'll be telling you more about that very shortly as well. But what we want to do now is get ready to talk with you about and share with you about the great Harriet Tubman, also known as Mother Saint Araminta Ross. For those that don't know, and then we're going to get ready to bring in Sister Rita Daniels, MWM is also launching a campaign, because our position is it's time for a federal holiday for a Black woman. And we have three that we're going to put out there too, and of course Mother Harriet Tubman is one of them. Now, we heard a few years ago that this government was thinking about putting her face on a $20 bill. We don't know what happened with that and don't particularly care. But what we do know is that it's up to us to establish the holidays that we want. And we're going to do that with or without this government, by the way. But we know that in terms of setting things in a particular motion, that needs to happen for the future generations. So we are launching today. You are the first to hear it. Our official campaign for there to be a federal holiday for a Black woman. Now, of course, we have one holiday that is for a Black man, and of course, that is Dr. Martin Luther King. Of course, there'll be a lot of commemoration going on with that for his Earth Day, which is next month. But again, it is time for there to be an official observance of a federal holiday for a black woman. We have three that has been proposed. Of course, Mother Harriet Tubman is one. We now have the forms, the survey forms ready for you, for those who are interested. If you would like to get that, we would be more than happy to email it to you, but we will be posting it very soon, and you will be able to get it online. The other thing I want to share with you and that you might not know is that there is already an official national observance of Harriet Tubman Day. Now, I found it very interesting. Again, our so-called politicians, for whatever reason, never share that kind of information with us. We do know that it is officially observed in the state of New York. It is literally a legal national holiday in New York and also in the state of Maryland. Maryland, of course, is where Mother Harriet Tubman was born, and, of course, New York is the state that she may transition in. Both of those states officially on record as not just a proclamation, but signed into actual legislation. And guess what? It was signed under President George Bush. Isn't that interesting that we've had a black president, but yet we didn't kind of get that kind of activity like that. Anyway, we'll talk about that at another point. But again, it is an official holiday in New York and in Maryland. And Sister Rita, of course, and she and her family and the institution there in Georgia, of course, they do an observance. And so she's going to tell us about that in a few moments because it did take place today. But family, I want you all to get ready to let us know what you think about there being an official holiday for a black woman. And if so, who should that be? Again, we have three that have been given to us as suggested persons. We're going to share that with you a little later on. But right now, we're going to go to our live line, and we are going to bring in Sister Rita Daniels, and we're going to talk about the great Harriet Tubman. Greetings, Sister Rita. How are you this evening?
Greetings, Sister Soleil, and everyone. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And listen, we haven't spoken for a while, but I'm so glad to be able to reconnect and to begin to really now put the next steps of some of the things that we talked about over the past year or so. We're ready to now really move forward with some of those things. So we thank you for taking the time to join us. We know today was a pretty busy day for you, and we're going to open up the mic and let you have it and tell us about, well, I guess first of all, tell us about when did you find out, how did you find out, and when and what did you feel when you really realized who your ancestor was?
Okay, that's a nice long story, but to make it shorter, I will tell you that my mother is 86, and her sister is 91. Mm-hmm. And one was 25 and the other one was 21 when they found out they were descendants of Harriet Tubman. And one of the reasons were because their parents, because back then, you have to look at it, she's been gone for 106 years.
Mm-hmm,
however,
mm-hmm.
They were born in 32. She died in 1913. Mm-hmm. So the story goes on to tell us, well, that was told to us. The reason why they were told at a later time, because at one point, there was a bounty on her head.
Right.
Okay. And so mm-hmm. when she went to New York, in Auburn, New York, where we are from, mm-hmm. when she went, just because she was still free, yeah, those people still wanted her because she took some money away from them. Our mm-hmm. people, you know, who were slaves, she took them out of their, well, it was for them a comfort zone
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
what her saying was, I could have freed 1,000 more slaves if only they knew they were slaves.
That's right.
So So for them, but a lot of them did leave. It was mostly family, but she made those 19 trips. In the meantime, where she got her land in Auburn, there were swamps. Well, now I can't call them swamps, but the land that she did get, she used to run and hide many times. And so no one spoke of her whereabouts or anything. So my grandmother, my great-grandmother, all of them were covering for her. It wasn't so much they wanted the slaves back. They wanted Harriet Tubman for taking them from them. That's who they were wanted. And so when they got older, it was a point where it was a hush-hush thing. And so even at that time, she was not a famous woman. She was a woman. Okay? So as time went by, they started realizing, you know, the freedom and, when she stepped over into Philadelphia, all of those things were great times for all of our family members. And so for them, there was a time when they started talking about it. And I think my mom started, she talked more about it. I was about 9 years old. When she even talked more about it was because it was not, you know, yeah, she was a great woman. They loved it, but it was not a subject that they talked about because that's how they grew up. Don't talk about it because they find out if you're related to Harriet Tubman or even if you know anything about Harriet Tubman, you could be marked. So, yeah, they could have been marked. So as time went by, of course, here I am, you know, I'm born in the 50s, and so 9 years old, I'm given a task. We're supposed to write about a famous person. Well, of course, in our books, we only had one paragraph about Harriet Tubman or anyone else. But their story about Harriet Tubman in that one paragraph was that she was a wanted slave. It was not that she was a slave, that she did this, that she was, she stole, she was a thief. It was nothing positive about it. So when I went home and I was telling my mother, I said, why would they have it in the history book and they say that she, my mother's like, what? That's what they had in there? So that's when she really started getting a straight on her story. And she says, a lot of times, you know, we couldn't talk about it because it was hush-hush growing up. And so we just put that in the back of our minds. It was never something that was brought to the forefront. So when I started talking about, well, I want to find out why she was, why she would be in the history books and she was a thief. What made, you know, was she history? So my mother started telling, she says, oh, no, let's go back. And so we started doing our research. And my mother even started talking more about it. My aunt started talking about it. And at that time, my grandmother talked about what a great woman she was. And there is no, and you, I mean, when they told the story, they told that story from the future, that if we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. Because if we're related to her, she went back to her family. So my great-grandmother was listed in Harriet Tubman's will as one of her favorite nieces. Out of all of her nieces and nephews, there's only three people listed in that will, and that was Mary. They called her Marietta, but she was the favorite niece. She was my grandmother's mommy and my mother's grandmother. So you can just look at, we have a family tree with everyone listed and so forth. It was just a matter of her, all of them just talking about what a great, phenomenal woman she was. And I just didn't understand. So I had to do more research and more research. And then I got to a point, at first I was afraid to even say anything because, you know, when your mother said, well, we didn't talk about it. We didn't say anything. because she was a wanted woman. We just didn't want to be tarnished with that because we knew it. So that was how I found out. And so as time went by, we realized that she was a phenomenal woman, very phenomenal.
Wow.
And she loved us so much that she loved her family so much that she would make that trip. So she didn't want to just be the only one getting a taste of what that freedom was like. She wanted others to get it. And see, of course, we know that the underground, many people went through it. But guess what? She's the only one that went back.
Wow.
That's what makes her so phenomenal and such a great, phenomenal woman. And as a matter of fact, when they were looking at putting a woman on the $20 bill, she beat out Anthony. She beat out Rosa Parks. And Harriet Tubman was the winner of that because they did polls in New York and probably a few other states. And Harriet Tubman won top notch.
So on that point, Sister Rita, what whatever happened with that? Because we were told that that was going to happen like 2 years ago or so.
Okay. What happened is that it was supposed to come out in 2020. And guess what? That is 200 years since her birth. She was born in 1820. And 2020 is that 200-year celebration. Celebration, it's going to be something extraordinary.
Wow.
We're going to make sure that it is well known and everything, and we are going to continue talking about that $20 bill. Now, there is a bill out there now that's trying to change it to 2021. We're hoping that it doesn't go further out. We would love to celebrate 2020 and make it that 200th anniversary for her. And a lot of the family, I will say, that they have mixed feelings about that money.
Sure.
Money, you know, biblically, they talk about how money is the root of all evil. And so there's a lot of evil people who use that money. And can you imagine a black woman on that $20 bill, how a lot of people already feel about it? They don't want to black. I'm like, what do you mean the money? I don't care. You know. They just don't want a black woman on their money. So our thing is a lot of people don't like the idea and others do. There's others who say there's no way I want her on the face. And then even we're going to make it even worse by putting the president that's already on the $20 bill on the other side. So why would you do that?
Wow.
So either way, it's a slap in the face, but Donald Trump does not want her on a $20 bill. But you know what?
Wow.
One of the, it's already the law, I mean, the bill, it's already been passed. Donald Trump, because he's president, that he can just change the whole world, which he's doing some things. He's doing a disastrous job, but the bottom line is, it's already been put out that she'll be on that $20 bill in 2020. All we can say is that we'll wait and see. But we have to push for it if we want her on that $20. But I know that I was supposed to talk about my Harriet Tubman Day, and
yes,
I will tell you, it's wonderful, 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 wonderful. We have the proclamation. We received that last week. For 2019, and we also have one for 2018 because we've had two governors. 2018 was from Governor Deal, and then 2019 was Brian Kemp. As much as I'm not crazy about these governors, the bottom line, we'll cross that line to go get that proclamation, black, white, or indifferent, because she deserves it. So if I got to say a few things that, you know, or if I have to do a few things to get it, and that means go to their office and get a picture with them, and that's what I did. I went and got the little so they can give me the proclamation. They're also going to put out a resolution, which I will probably get next week. I'm not sure what's in it because someone else ordered it for me on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But I am just very elated because we celebrated Harriet Tubman Day today. I have youth entrepreneurs. They each had their own booth. They range from the ages 10
mm-hmm.
and all the way to 16. Now,
wow.
They didn't sell their items. We
mm-hmm.
have a 16-year-old who was selling bow ties. He came in there with a bow tie on, and he was strutting his stuff, letting people know, this is what I do. He had his bow ties. We had two young girls, well, actually three, a group of kids. They did T-shirts. One did tie-dye. Another group did, you know, iron-ons.
Mm-hmm.
We had another 10-year-old. She did slime. Now, me as a person, there's no way I would have bought slime. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few people bought slime.
Wow.
And sold $5 jewelry. And, of course, we have something that is very phenomenal. We have Tubman batteries.
What?
Energize. Our goal was help energize our team of youth, and please buy a Tubman battery. This woman made all these trips and is dedicated to our great one and only, Harriet Tubman.
Wow. Wonderful.
We continue taking orders for those. We had batteries on site. But the bottom line is, they did that. I'm also teaching them robotics. These young kids, we had one who demonstrated his ability to build a robot. Now, mind you, this is a young kid who came in who's very shy, attention
mm-hmm.
deficit as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
IEP students. I have a mentally challenged 28-year-old young man who obviously is only probably at a fifth or sixth grade level, maybe not even that. And so I have a very diverse group of young children. They're learning the steps about a business, learning that a cost of goods, here's what you're going to buy. They're learning to what they need to do in order to make a profit. All of those things were embedded into them prior to having their booth. So they knew what they needed to do. We even had one who's like, well, would you like to buy a bow tie? They're $20. But, and the guy says, well, I don't have $20. He said, well, I'll take $15. I'm like, okay, you go.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
This young man, he went ahead and put this, and his mother came today, and she did not know he was going to do that. He talked about it, but we put him on display, and we said, Terrence, can you put that robot together? But before he did that, since he came to us shy, he would have his hoodie on the whole time and didn't talk or anything, but he has broken his little silence, and now he's one of the real popular young boys. And he put that robot, he explained what the wiring is. It's called coding. They learned how to code.
Mm-hmm.
They're matching
yeah.
these wires. You can't tell me our black kids that have ADHD, that have issues, just because they're not doing well in school on a regular basis
mm-hmm.
doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean they don't have a hidden talent. God gave
That's
us all
right.
a talent. And so all of our children we're taking them from a whole different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
People think our kids need to go to college. Not everyone is college material.
Mm-hmm.
Not
That's
everyone
right.
is college material. So, you know, let's give these kids some options. They don't have to wait until they're 18, 90 trying to find a job and can't find a job.
Wow.
So we're teaching them at a young age. Here's what you can do. Let's show you the roles. Let's show you. Here you go. You got $50. Go buy something off of eBay or Amazon or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Find something for that. Sell it. Let's find out what your revenue is going to turn out. And let's find out, you know, subtract that cost of your goods, pay that money back, and then what did you just do? You just made a profit. And how many hours? 3 hours? Look how much money you made.
All right.
So
all right.
Those are things that I'm and these kids don't have to go out there selling drugs. You know, we don't even talk about that kind of stuff. But we want them to know there's a way to make your money. You ain't, you know, make your bow ties a drug. Make whatever it is.
That's right.
But do something that will teach you that you don't have to go out there and be in the game to or anything like that. We've got to get them the step. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to go out there and do that. They may end up going out there working for McDonald's but at least they have something to fall back on. Hope, you know what? I just found out I can make me a little bit of money just by selling something that's legal, something that everybody wants. Boys don't like, men don't even like to go to the store. But they came in there and they bought some of them bow ties.
Wow. That, and, you know, the whole idea of helping our youth to really know and understand economics, understand, you know, revenue exchanging and things of that nature at a very young age, that is just so important, so very important.
Yes, it is. And so, like I said, we're teaching them, we're taking them on trips, we've taken them, you know, we're still working on we haven't lost our mountain house, but it's not there yet. We still need to raise the money to do that. I'm still trying to find a building, you know. Maybe I can find a building, just pay a dollar. Because I found out that there's another person. He was telling me that he has a school. He shares a school with someone else, but he pays only a dollar a month. He says, why not?
Really?
You know, they people have to still pay taxes on it.
Yes.
The building is just sitting there and not being used. The building at the point when he got there, he said it was only being 20% used. Now it's 80% being used. He's got 14 rooms. He said, I pay a dollar.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about. I said, I'm trying to find that same thing because I have several kids that want to be in my program, but I can't take more than 20 at a time.
Wow. That is so wonderful. I mean, you said you were going to do this, and you are actually now, you know, taking those first steps to make it happen. And that's what it's really about. That is really what it is about. You know, a lot of times people... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say about how many times, you know, I wanted to quit. Seriously. Because, you know, you go to so many people and ask for a handout or ask for help, and you get a lot of no's. But then always, sometimes, you know, if I just keep going like my great-great-great-aunt's words were, don't quit now. Just keep going. You'll get there. And I asked myself, if I quit and something comes, then I've missed my point. I missed my my magical opportunity because I said I'm decided. Because so, even though I want to do it, I mean I don't wanna do it now. Several times I did want to do that. And say, you know, this isn't working. But I love working with these kids. They don't want to stop coming. I have alumni. They've been through the whole program, and guess what? These very same kids come back, and they're teaching some of the younger kids.
So, you know, my sister, it's you know, and we really. In terms of MWM, that's one of the things that we are really now pushing to an even greater extent, and that is the education of our children, because we cannot expect other people to do that, and we certainly should not expect other people to do that, and particularly given the history, you know, it is so important that we take on the responsibility to make certain that our children get what it is that they need. And so, you know, one of the things that we've begun to look at closer is, even in terms of the curriculum, that the information that we are disseminating to them, we're making certain that we even critique that now to a greater extent. And so, you know, are you, what have you developed your own, it sounds like you have. Have you developed like your own kind of either technique or curriculum or anything, program in terms of the actual things that you want them to really get?
I certainly have.
Wonderful.
As a matter of fact, Jim, I've even had a few people wanting to get my curriculum in their hands, because there are certain things that I do that, you know, certain techniques. When I, my very first class, I don't put a robot in their hands. Because my class, you know, first of all, because I'm getting different types of kids, and they have different types of ways of doing things. So my very first class, I says, okay, you all, I had my very first class, I had 13 kids. And
children.
I had
children.
You're right. I had them sitting down. I had them sitting, and I'll even say they were teens. Some were teens, some were young. But I gave them a scenario. I said, okay, you're on a Hawaiian island. Got a boat and went to the little small line, and guess what? The boat, you got to the island, but the boat had issues, and it fell apart. You got to get back to the main island. What are you going to do? How are you going to get there? So I brought them all kinds of flat sticks, popsicle sticks, rope, and all kinds of things. And I put it all on the table. And I said, you got to determine what this is like letting them see a lot of kids or children. Sorry about that. I'm so used to it.
I know.
A lot of them have not been challenged to a point to go to dig deeper. So I'm telling I want you to figure out how you're going to get off this island and get back to where you're supposed to be. Every single one of them. Of course, with the same idea, a raft. But they had to build their raft. Different kind of rafts and so forth. And there were some parents sitting there who actually tried to tell their children how to build the raft. I said, oh, no. Parents, the reason why our children don't succeed sometimes is because of parent interference. We're not allowing our children to think on their own. All they have to do is find a way to get off that island. And parents, guess what? If you feel that you already know how they should get... Here, come and get some of these sticks, and you make your own idea. Put your raft together. So I let them all, including parents, be included in that. And I'm telling that right there, that was our icebreaker. Now I got an idea of just how talented or innovative my students were. Some of them were way behind, who couldn't think on their own. And then we had those who knew exactly what. So I was able to categorize their strengths. This is how they came to me day one. And by the time they get to the tail end of this quarter, they're further ahead. Because the next time they got to build that raft, they were able to build it. And I'm talking about the ones that were not as talented or innovative. So I call my students future innovators.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I even have one student who came, and he's autistic. This one student came in there, And I gave them an opportunity. I gave them a bunch of Legos. I gave them wood. I just said, you guys need to tell me what you're going to do. Since you are all future innovators, I want all of you to take these products, take these things, build something. Take that one idea that you're going to build, and let's see, is it valuable? How valuable is this idea? I have this one young man who took sticks or flat boards, and did he not come up with a water bottle holder with a cell phone? One side, he's putting a handle on it, and he says, here's what I've got. I'm like, okay, explain that. He said, well, it's a combo water bottle holder and cell phone holder. And I'm waiting for this to dry. And I'm like, are you kidding? Okay, so guess what? He's going to be in one of our talent abilities for innovative, creative young students, where he's going to go up against some other children and be judged on what he developed. Hopefully we can get him to get that idea a little bit more patented, because his idea, I've never seen it.
Wow.
Whoever put a water bottle together with their cell phone.
Wow.
They've taken, and I'm just saying, within that class, because a lot of times we're not giving our children the opportunity to think out ahead. And I even said, think about what you feel needs, you know, that's missing. Okay, so we made buildings. They had the Legos. What's your building about? Do you think you can get that building and make money off of that?
So the center that you have, it's been in effect now for how many years?
Well, we're in our second year. That first year was very slow because we were not as big. So I would say I think it really, really started picking up even more so last in February, Black History Month. Black History Month. And so now we are a year out where we're more successful. And the word is getting out. I'm not getting any funding from any government or anything like that. I'm not going to turn the money away, because right now we need that, because we're trying to grow. So there's a few things that we're working on, but right now we're looking at it's been self-funded for a very long time, and we don't charge for our classes. So the robotic kit that we received were donated.
Wow, that's what I'm talking about. You know, see, this is so important, because we had this conversation the other evening that for whatever reason, so many of our people now, I mean, everything is about money, 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 money. And don't get me wrong, yes, we need money. But there's like no real giving back to the community just based on the strength of, I have a skill, I got a couple of hours or whatever, I'm going to do something with this for our people. You know, that spirit has become so hard to find nowadays. If people aren't getting a grant or corporate sponsoring, they just don't want to do it. So, sister, I am just so – let me ask this question, because whenever I hear someone is putting forth an effort to do something independently, I always have to figure out what can we do to better help or better support. Do you have someone say, if you were able to get the type of grant that, you know, that we feel would be appropriate? And we're talking about for some Black folks. You see, do you have someone that can write that up for you?
funny, I spoke with a couple women about a month ago, And I thought, okay, we're going to wait until Harriet Tubman Day is over, because my time was very preoccupied for that. So I've met with them, and we have a grant writer. One person has the ability to get me in front of Lockheed Martin and various other companies. And so they want, but the one thing that really is, you know, I've got to stop being so, I think I take ownership to a point where, okay, let me just put it this way. There's a company, it's a black-owned company,
mm-hmm.
that wants to come in, me sign a contract,
mm-hmm.
they come in and revamp the whole business factor. They want to bring in their own, board of directors. She said to me, you cannot just have board of directors sitting there doing absolutely nothing. They have to bring something to the table. And
right.
I said, well, first of all, my mother's on my board. My mother doesn't bring but nothing but knowledge. I'm not taking my mother off.
Mm-hmm.
She's matriarch. She was her idea in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she, yeah. Okay. So, but to me, I'm a little leery about it, because how you hand over your something that's very dear to you and put it in someone else's hands, and
that's
suppose
right.
it doesn't want. That's my fear.
Right.
They want to do
the
governance.
Yeah.
They want to do all this. They, you know, to me, if I'm not going to be in the nook and crannies of everything that's going on, then no, I'm not going to hand it over. Because there's a lot of people who have great ideas,
right?
But they want to take it. It's
that's
almost
right.
like I'm a descendant, and I'm going to
that's
hand
right.
it to somebody a non-descendant.
Yep.
I don't think I like that idea.
That's
so
right.
I'm working, you know. I'm
that's right. I think you're on point with that, because, you know, I can tell you firsthand, and you can see it in history. When you allow other people to take your legacy, your history, they do whatever they want to do with it. Oftentimes it becomes commercialized. It becomes a capitalized situation. And, you know, if that's why it's been such a struggle, you know, to keep MWM in its proper perspective and the vision that it was given, has been a real battle, because those that were involved at some point thought they were going to be able to rape it and then to use it as a cash cow, see, because that's the type of mentality that a lot of our people have gotten into now. They don't see the value of stuff that really has a certain element and substance and capability. And so rather than to see it and help it to grow in the way that it was given, they want to use it to just, you know, do whatever they want to do with it. So I think you are so on point to be very, very careful. Because, again, history has shown us. You let other people, and note, I heard you say that this was some black folks, but we now know without a shadow of a doubt, just because somebody has a large amount of melanin or hue, that don't mean they thinking black.
Well, you know, look at Jet Magazine and some of our that were black-owned businesses, Johnson & Johnson, or I'm not sure,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
black-owned businesses all of a sudden, even Essence Magazine, who is owned by a white corporation,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
some people sold it out. They got money hungry.
Well, this is what I say. See, I understand business. And so it's one thing when you're building something and doing something as a business. So for me, I don't really evaluate it in necessarily in the selling out, because from a business standpoint, you're going to do business. But
yeah.
when you are building an institution, you see, and your institution has certain values and principles and ethics involved in it. Then you're telling we're talking something different now. See, business, unfortunately, for the most part, has certain other kind of elements and functions involved in it. You know, and it's not to say that you can't have a business that also has ethics and whatever. But I'm saying generally, once you hit that stock market, or you know, you start going into other aspects of, you know, the business of that, then it does tend to go into another element, and that's a part of its structure. But I understand what you're saying, and I agree. We've got to hold on to those things that are of real value, particularly when it comes from a legacy and a history. See, that's really, really important. And you know, I applaud you for taking that position and making certain that you safeguard, you know, what it is that you're building.
Exactly. I have to protect that legacy because
that's right.
When you keep things over and you feel, you know, when you're not completely involved in everything and you're letting someone else take the reins, sometimes when things grow too fast, okay, and it's not even about money or anything like that when it comes to me, my mom, or anything. Yes, I mean, right now, I have no income.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get paid for what I do.
Right.
My only income is freaking Social Security, and it's only because my job eliminated my whole department. And because I'm 64... I mean, ain't no job out there. Now, these people are hiring millennials. UPS is still hiring big time, but they're not hiring anyone older because why would they eliminate me? Why wouldn't you just put me in another department?
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
So I said, maybe this is the answer from God where I'm going to have to do this 24/7. I mean, 20, you know, that is my job now.
Right.
I'm doing
right.
doing this because of that, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm loving working with my students and the children because they come in, there's never a dull moment around them. I mean, they're doing something all the time, and they come in. We have games. We're teaching them what trading is all about. Some of the games that they've played, I mean, watching them is funny. And so I modify all of my games just so they, because I, like I said, I have 10-year-olds and all the way up to 16. So now the mentally challenged young man, I think he's about 28. But when I say mentally challenged, he's really challenged. So I modify everything so everyone can play. Now, the mother stays in my classroom the whole time and works with this young man. But he's enjoying it. He's laughing. At first, he was very shy. But see, we include him. And this young man, he painted rocks based on what he could possibly do. He painted rocks and put eyes, moving eyes on them, and did one of them.
Wow.
One of them looked like a ladybug.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want that one. But someone bought it before me. I'm just saying that to see them from where they were to where they are now, a big, big change. They're comfortable. They love it. And today really is the first time that he actually talked.
Wow.
Because I went over and I said, do you take Cash Apps? And he looked at me. He goes, nope. I said, okay. I said, see this rock here? I want this rock. Will you hold it? So he took it and he just put it in his hands like he was hiding it. And he put his face real straight nobody can come and get this. Okay, I got this. And so when I came back, he was very excited. I said, thank you for saving this for me. And, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just still, you know, making them feel a part of the class and not singling them out or making them feel like you don't belong because of your situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I have
mm-hmm.
all types of kids, children in my class mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. are very diverse, as I said.
And so I'm so proud of you, my sister, and you know we again applaud what you're doing. And I'm really kind of thinking, if you are interested, we do have a couple of sisters that do write the grant stuff or whatever it's called. You know, they can structure that stuff. Because you're near Atlanta, and I'm like, there's googobs of black businesses in Atlanta. I mean, so you know, we don't necessarily reach out to to the other groups, but certainly you're in a location where they got some things going on there. And I
yes.
think maybe if some information can be gotten to a few people, I mean, for example, you got T.I. over your way, right?
Mm-hmm.
T.I. is known to do a few little things. So I'm just saying, I really think that if certain things are written up in a certain way and given to just a few people, I think that could really be helpful to further
yes.
some of the next things that you want to do. And again, if you're interested in that, because we've created now for MWM what we call the M4 group, and it's a part of our movement because we realize we've got to create a revenue stream. We're not going to ever proceed without having the types of monies that we need to do the work that we need to do, but we're creative enough to create that. So we created the M4 group, and the M4 represents media, marketing, manufacturing, and merchandising unit. So one of the functions is to assist with marketing, media kinds of things, and so forth. So my point is, if you are interested, I can certainly connect sure. you with one of our sisters and kind of talk more about what can be structured that can be sent to some of the key people in that area, in that Atlanta area, that we think would probably be supportive of your project.
Well, I am not saying no to anyone that can assist me in moving forward.
Okay.
I just don't said I am open to all of that because I don't have, you know, I was told that they're going to look into all of these. Now, they're waiting for me to turn in my curriculum, my business plan, and they
yeah,
want everything.
No.
That I have, and I'm
yeah,
like, okay,
no.
I've given you a business plan. I thought you were going to go through my business plan and let
mm-hmm.
me know what needs to change so I can make those adjustments. Well, I haven't
mm-hmm.
got to it. Well, that's been over 90
okay.
days. Oh, I'm like, okay, so why am I handing all this? Do I trust this?
Right, right. Yeah. Again, I mean, you know, you have to do what you think is best to do. But I can certainly say to you that, again, from a business standpoint, and that's what I'm really, you know, kind of focusing on right now. There are just certain fundamental things that can be done without going all into the depth of what your curriculum is and so forth and so on. You know, again, you have various entities that really do want to support black folks, you see, and they have that kind of spirit. And you know, and if they could just see that you are doing something and what you're doing is, in fact, of a certain type, that, you know, some people are, in fact, prepared to support that without going into the whole, I'm going to just put it straight out there, BS. Of what, you know, these other entities will try to send you through, jumping through some hoops and, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. I mean, you know, it doesn't always have to get into that. But because this system has created that type of bureaucracy. You know, that's what oftentimes they try to make people go through that kind of stuff. So, again, if it's something that you think you would be interested in, I certainly will talk with a couple of our sisters that is doing, you know, that kind of thing in terms of helping our brothers and sisters to get access to some of the things that is needed for their projects.
Yes. I appreciate it, and thank you very much. I would love to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will definitely get on that later this week. So in the meantime, my sister, we're going to close this session out. Please give our folks your website information. And if they are interested in sending you a donation, let them know how they can do that.
Well, they can go to my website. It's the Harriet Tubman Learning Center. .org. That's Harriet Tubman Learning Center. .org. There is a donation button on there. Just feel free going up there, and we appreciate everything because we are self-funded, and anything that we receive definitely goes into the curriculum and the class.
Okay. Great. Great. And just one other question, which doesn't really is not something that I particularly care about personally, but mm-hmm. for those that might want to know, do you have a 501?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
Every
okay.
donation
yep.
that is given, you can get, it is a tax write-off.
Okay, that's the, again, for me personally, if I'm going to give some money to something that I really think is worthy and believe it, I don't care about that, but that's me. Other folks, they need to know that for their business and tax purposes. So thank you for conveying that.
And we do have that. We are 501c legitimate.
Okay. Great, great. All right. All right, my sister. Well, again, I thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And, you know, we felt that, again, Mother Harriet Tubman is one of our sister saints. So for all of our sister saints, we will always make certain that we do something to commemorate them, to pay tribute to them. And certainly, you know, what a ideal person to do that with, but an actual blood, you know, descendant of the great Harriet Tubman. So I'm just going to let you have your closing comments for tonight, and we're going to close this session out.
Well, the only thing I can say is I wanted to thank everyone for having me speak on your on my great-great-aunt's behalf, and hopefully I can do this again. Just remember mm-hmm. that is – the problem right now, we still have children that are illiterate. We have 18-year-olds who are not reading beyond fourth grade level,
mm-hmm.
and that's today. It should not be that way. If we want to make a change, then we need to be responsible and make that change. And so
absolutely.
I'm stepping up, and I encourage anyone else that can do so, to do the same thing. I can't get them all, but I'll tell you, if I can get a few out of my class and I'm seeing a big difference, then it's worth every bit of the sacrifices we make.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, my sister. Well, again, I thank you, and we'll be in touch with you later on this week. I'm going to talk to some of the sisters and see what we can maybe get, you know, get in place for you and move this thing, move not just what you're doing, but we have a couple of things that we're working on, and I think we can connect some of those things, and everyone can really move forward productively. So
well,
I'll definitely connect with you later on this week.
Sure.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, family. We are going to close this session out. We were supposed to talk with Sister Belinda Brown. I don't know what happened because, you know, they have something coming up this weekend to bring greater attention to the case that they're working on in Louisiana. Also, of course, we have begun to put some other pieces together for the We Charge Genocide program that is in effect now. And, of course, one of those issues that we'll be looking at is, of course, the abolishment of the 13th Amendment. Okay, or if not the abolishment, at least there has to be some kind of change in it that is going to definitely make certain that slavery is not legal, because right now it is. Remember, this is the 400-year commemoration of our ancestors being brought to this so-called shore, the shores of North America, of English North America, and at that point, of course, beginning the establishment of what is known as the peculiar institution, and of course, you know, all types of atrocities that have, of course, inflicted our people for the past 400 years. There's a lot of commemoration observances going on all over the country this year into 2020, and there should be, most definitely, but our position and our declaration is we charge genocide. And with that, there will be a major summit in New York, August 22nd through the 25th, a major summit in what we call the Indaba One, the Black Human Rights Indaba One. There will be a second one in 2020, and that one will be in Washington, D.C. The first one will be in New York. The one in New York will serve as the kickoff for the campaign to obtain a million signatures that will be taken to the United Nations at the end of 2020, of course, charging this government with crimes against humanity. In the meantime, information is being submitted to the United Nations, to the appropriate branches or departments, and at that, there are specific things that are now in the process of being filed with them in preparations for some of the next steps. We'll be able to give you some updates on that very soon, but again, we don't want to put too much out too soon, because what we've learned is that there's a lot of people that watch and listen to what MWM is doing, and oftentimes try to revamp or restructure some of what they hear we're doing, and then try to present it as if it's something that they're doing. So we're kind of now making certain that we lessen that capability. But at any rate, we'll certainly be filling you in very soon on what some of our next moves are. As a matter of fact, later on this week, we'll be able to tell you about some of the Black human rights kind of meetings that are coming up here in Philly, as well as in Newark. We're heading to Memphis very soon. We'll be able to tell you the new date for that, because that's going to be a major kind of conference. A Black women's conference is going to be connected with that. You all that tuned in last night heard, of course, Dr. Atwater, who is going to be one of our key coordinators for that region. And so, again, we will be going to her location. Remember, she has actually a African-American History Museum in Memphis, and we will be doing our session at that facility along with paying tribute to the sanitation workers. So we'll be telling you more about that next time. At any rate, we thank you all for tuning in to this special edition of New Day, and we will be back later on this week, probably before our regular program on Saturday, because we have a lot of stuff going on for this so-called month of women's history. Remember, we will be in New York on Friday. We will be attending the side session that is being held by Dr. Dolores Blakely. Of course, she is the elder, the sister who was with Queen Mother Moore for roughly 25 years, has continued that work, and now she has been in the United Nations for 50 years, and she is now leaving the official capacity that she was in for the United Nations. She's moving on to some other more international things. So we want to be there to support her event, and also to wish her well in her next endeavors, and to begin to position MWM to proceed with the work that Queen Mother Moore and that she, of course, was able to continue. Okay, so we'll be telling you more about that. That, of course, includes the Commission on the Status of African Women North America. That is one of our new groups. And family, listen, those of you who are interested in becoming a member of MWM, a active member or a support member, please feel free to let us know. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also send us a donation if you'd like. We do have Cash App, and that, of course, is HOT1111. Again, HOT1111. Or you can use your PayPal, and you can PayPal us at nationalmwm@aol.com. All right, family, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, they can never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there is truly, truly justice. And by the way, family, you're getting ready to see the first phases of what we call the Ma'atic Epoch, meaning a very specific period in time where Ma'at will be on the rise. Until next time, Pomoja Tutashinda, together we shall win. Peace out.